We provide hundreds of millions of dollars of aid to the Egyptian government and the Egyptian people. I want to make sure it's a good investment. I want to understand what we're investing in.
Egypt does face a serious threat from terrorism, but the unprecedented human rights abuses and political repression practiced by the government since 2013 is fanning the flames rather than putting them out. A World Bank report in 2014 said it clearly. Economic policies in Egypt are not focused on promoting the emergence of fast-growing, high-productivity private sector companies that would generate jobs. Instead, and I'm quoting here, they have worked to preserve insider privileges, leading to growth in sectors that are not labor-intensive. For a long time, economic policies have been skewed toward protecting the privileges of a few, the cronies of the regime. In the Sisi era, it's even fewer than that. It's really the economic policies are for the benefit of Sisi's own constituency, the military itself. We're seeing a real change in laws, regulations, etc., that are allowing the military, rather than the private sector, to take up more and more economic activity. That's what's behind these mega construction projects that Sisi has been carrying out. The Suez Canal passage, the new administrative capital he's building in the desert, because this is how the Egyptian military knows how to make money, by building things.
Our aid to Egypt had not been very high and then leapt up after the Sadat visit to Jerusalem and the Camp David Accord, and that's 1978. That's 40 years ago. The Middle East has changed, and Egypt's role in the Middle East has changed in that period. The Egypt of that period was really the most influential country, most influential Arab country, and its position on everything was of significance to us. But that's no longer true. Egypt has no role of significance when it comes to the conflict in Yemen or in Iraq or in Syria, nor really on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict itself. Egypt's weight in the region has really declined. The Egyptian military is actually spending huge amounts of money enhancing their conventional capability. In February 2015, they purchased 24 Dassault Rafale multi-role fighters, a frigate, and missiles from France. And that was a deal worth nearly $6 billion. 2014, they bought four naval corvettes from France. That was $1.35 billion. Fall of 2015, two Mistral helicopter carriers from France. Large purchases from Russia. How do purchases like an anti-ballistic missile system from Russia and advanced combat jets really combat terrorist groups like ISIS? How do submarines? Yet Egypt just last week received the first of four German-made attack submarines. Total cost €1.4 billion.
More and more, it looked to us that Egypt is becoming a country that sucks up aid a lot more from the Gulf states than from us, as you know, contributing very, very little to regional security and treating the aid as an entitlement that simply must continue and continue and continue. Yes, they are engaged with ISIL in the Sinai, but as we've heard, in ways that probably make the problem steadily worse rather than better. Just how counterproductive the tactics are. This is basically a window into a strategy in which young men who may or even may not be members of ISIS are rounded up, executed in cold blood, and then passed off as casualties in a battlefield fight so that the army can look good. We know from history that is the way to lose a fight like this, not to win. Almost any observer of the Sisi government, I think, would agree that over the last two or three years, the primary priority of the Egyptian military and of General Sisi has not been to fight terrorism or to improve governance. It has been to make sure that what happened in 2011, the Tahrir Square Rising, something like that can never, ever, ever, ever happen again in Egypt, and that the power of the military over the country's politics and economics is not challenged again. And as a result, they have concentrated as much on persecuting their political opponents, peaceful protesters, independent NGOs, the very people in the country who are most likely to despise jihadism as it has on hunting down terrorists. My job was talking to authoritarian governments around the world, and I have to say the meetings with the government of Egypt were amongst the least productive and most unpleasant. A lot of governments around the world that do things we don't like, but you can have a thoughtful, intelligent conversation where you're talking to somebody who you feel like they've got the best interest of their country in mind, but they have a different vision for how to achieve them. And in the case of Egypt, it's just angry, rude denial of all problems, and how dare you, U.S. government official, raise these things with us, and where's our money? Thank you very much. Goodbye.